This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Darkest Temptation by Rachel Van Dyken, narrated by Chris Chambers and Holly Jackson. Prologue. Mason. Scotland, 700 BC. Mother's dark brown eyes crinkled at the corners. I reached up to touch the edges of her face, but quickly remembered. I was too weak. Always too weak. Even to catch the tear that dripped from her chin onto the threadbare blanket. I shivered as a hooded figure quickly entered the room and shut the door. My angel. I wanted to touch her. My mouth burned. My teeth ached. She sat down next to me and pulled my head into her lap. Her face was worried, pale. Her green eyes flashed as she whispered to my mother, "This is the last time."
"I understand."
My mother's voice cracked.
"It's the only thing that keeps him strong. If my husband were to find out, he would not be Alpha."
The woman finished. Alpha. I wanted to be Alpha. Leader. Born to lead. Those were the prayers whispered to me by Da. I shivered as something pierced my neck, and then the room tilted on its side, as my vision blurred into a red haze. It could have been minutes, hours, even days, when my heavy eyes finally opened. My mother was still sitting in the same spot. Her tears were dry, her expression worried. My arms felt stronger, lighter than they had since waking up in this cruel, magical world.
"Mother,"
I reached for her.
"Do not be scared. Be scared,"
she admonished, and then pulled me into her lap, rocking me back and forth. She smelled like cinnamon and smoke.
"Tell me the story again, of the great wolf."
She stopped rocking me, as a great sadness rested against my chest like a blanket of fire.
"Oh, Mace,"
she sighed,
"'tis nothing but a fairy tale. Please."
She took a deep breath, and I knew it in my soul. She was about to tell me my destiny, as sure as the sun would rise and the moon soon after. I was born to be the great wolf. I closed my eyes as she spoke.
"Those who watch were sent to the great mountain to watch over the humans, to keep them safe from the heavenliness, from what they could not possibly understand. They were given one job."
I yawned.
"Their job was to never look away. But one day, after a great battle where many children's lives were lost, one of those who watch could not bear it anymore. He looked upon the face of one of the humans, and he fell. Because one thing you must always remember, my son. Where you look, your fate will follow."
"Yes, mother."
"His brethren, so distraught, had no choice but to follow. They chose to turn away from their true purpose, but not before they were warned."
"I love this part."
I sighed and waited.
"Your father sang his song to the Creator, warning him that those who watch were looking away. But the Creator refused to remove freedom from any of his creation. More and more wolves sang with your father, howled their warnings to those who were falling. And yet, nothing stopped them."
She sighed.
"Once they fell, they were scattered throughout the human plane, given no choice but to live on earth, as a prison until they are able to earn their place back in the heavenliness. They are fallen angels, with black and red hair, torn wings. They are what happens when you choose yourself over your family, Mace."
I shivered in her arms.
"I will always choose family."
She nodded and kissed my forehead.
"Once they fell, the Creator wanted to reward your father. He gave him a promise that one day, his bloodline would rise up
and restore what had been broken. He will be the greatest wolf this world has ever seen. His power unmeasurable, his abilities uncontrollable. One day, he will come to restore the connection between the fallen and the heavenliness. For wolves are the only immortals who have a direct line to the stars, who know the language of the angels and freely communicate, because we are creation itself. The very earth is in our blood, our eyes. We are the purest of the immortals, even over vampires.
My mom hesitated. Every immortal has a created purpose. Wolves heal. We communicate with the stars. Vampires are better with their hands, able to seamlessly insert themselves in the human world and protect.
What about sirens?
My mom snorted. You'd have to ask the creator that. Sirens are
selfish,
and yet they too have a purpose, right along with demons. We all work together for the greater good, and one day, that work will all have been worth it, because the wolf is coming, and he will save the world as we know it. Tears filled my eyes. Hours later, when she left my room, I crawled over to the window and looked up at the stars.
Please, please, great creator, let me be that wolf. I'll do anything. Let me be that wolf.
I won't hear it again, Father said in a hushed tone. I crawled back to bed and hid under the blanket, but I could still discern their voices through the walls. He'll not be Alpha. He's weak. I cringed as each word hit me in the chest, like a boulder crushing bone.
There's a way,
Mother whispered.
He's stronger with their blood. It's seamless when he's bitten. If we could find a way to...
You speak of heresy.
I'm speaking of saving our son's life,
she roared.
And the only way for him to be strong is to make sure he has both bloodlines. You know it's true. We have no other children. He's the last male we've been gifted with. If not him, then who? We must take matters into our own hands.
I stilled as the door opened a crack, then closed. I pretended to be asleep when my father kissed my forehead. I pretended to be dreaming when he whispered quietly, "Forgive me, Mice. I've already failed you." He stood and walked by the door. "I'll do it." The air around me thickened with a sweet-smelling fog. I inhaled and closed my eyes, allowing my baser instincts to take over.
"Wolf,"
she whispered my name. I sniffed. The voice was not familiar. It was not my mate. It was other.
"Wolf,"
she beckoned again. Branches crunched beneath my feet as I made my way closer to the sweet scent, closer to the warmth, closer to what I should have been running from. I was already mated, and yet I was being pulled like a siren song. I hated sirens, every last one of them, but only the strongest were male. This, I sniffed the air again as ecstasy took over. This was no male. This was all female. The instinct to protect kicked in, forcing a surge of adrenaline through my limbs as I staggered toward the trees. Green eyes blinked through the fog. I stilled, my breath caught. Vampire. I frowned, reaching for her.
"Kiss me, wolf."
Why was I tempted? Why did I want to touch this being, when every hair stood on end like she was foe, not friend? When I had a mate back home that I loved more than life itself? Confusion warred with disgust, and then the vampire stood on her tiptoes and pressed her cheek against mine, the way my people greeted. But she was no wolf. Her lips grazed the outside of my ear before she bit down onto my neck. I jerked awake, sweat pooled the bed like I'd just taken a shower. And my mate, the one I was so convinced would be lying right next to me, was gone. She'd been gone. Over 100 years. And every year, like clockwork, on the anniversary of her death, I saw my vampire. She bit me, and I woke up with a bruise on my neck, as if it were real. Chapter 1 Mason. I sniffed my way to the kitchen. There was no use going back to sleep, not with those green eyes haunting my dreams. Nightmares. It was always the same. The reminder of the human I'd once shared everything with was gone, and the guilt that even during our short mating, I'd been having dreams of another, came down onto my heaping shoulders tenfold. I was not a good man. I was more beast than anything. Wolves mated for life, and in my dreams, I'd allowed another female to touch me, to lick me. I shoved the betraying thoughts away and turned on one of the kitchen lights. My eyes zeroed in on the freezer before I could stop them. 10 steaks. Red steaks. Steaks with at least 40 grams of protein. Enough blood to saturate my mouth, coat it with its essence. Embarrassed, I looked away. Leave it to me to be the only wolf who craved both blood and meat. I was defective, and why I'd stepped down after my mate's death. I did not deserve to be king, their leader. The wolves had each other, the pack. They had no use for me. Mason! Ethan, vampire pain in my ass, barked out my name like he was irritated with me. He sat at the table, hands folded. Black hair pulled into a stupid bun in the back of his head, making him look like a female. He glared. I can hear you. I know. I sniff the air. Where is Genesis? He rolled his eyes. One day, you're going to ask about my wife, and I'm going to bite you where it won't heal. I waved him off. I always heal. It is what I do. Right. His grin turned lethal. I started turning around, but he was in front of me within seconds. Damn fast vampire pain in my hairy ass. I'm busy. She's been here for 2 days. At least talk to her. No! I barked, already feeling my hackles rise as my wolf shoved forward ready for a fight, ready to take down anyone stupid enough to stand in my way. And then my least favorite siren in the entire universe entered the room, making the air sick with his heat. Tiny particles of dust pulsed around his body like they couldn't help themselves. Damn pheromones. He took one look at us and grinned.
You guys fighting again?
Sirens found great joy in emotional distress, especially ones like Alex. Too damn powerful for their own good. His face lit up with excitement as he glanced between us back and forth, and then finally calmed the tense air, sucking it through his nostrils like my pain was his drug, and Ethan's irritation his tonic. You done? I gritted my teeth. Alex shrugged.
Can't help it. I love a good fight.
Go mate with your elf. I felt my control snapping. Everyone around me reminded me of loss. Years ago, we used to find human mates by using a lottery of sorts. We called their numbers. They mated with us. We had children. End of story. And then the system broke. The mates began to die, mine included. And now that it was fixed, it just seemed like one more cruel trick of the universe that everyone would be happy. Everyone would have someone but me. Not that I needed someone, not when I had friends. Yeah, just keep telling yourself that. And now that the thirst was suddenly getting worse, and on the anniversary of her death, I felt helpless. Wolves weren't supposed to be helpless. It was not in our nature. I growled low in my throat at Alex. It only seemed to amuse the idiot more.
Well, someone should go talk to her, he finally said. We all know I'm not allowed near humans, since they tend to die from lust.
Exaggeration, I ground out. You didn't kill Hope.
She's only part human,
he shrugged, looking to Alex.
And since Ethan has a shitty bedside manner...
Ethan hissed, his fangs elongating past his lower lip, before he retracted them.
As I was saying,
Alex grinned.
That leaves you.
Or we can send Cassius, I offered, hating that I was even willing to send the Dark Angel in my stead. Over a girl. A simple, innocent girl. Cassius. The angel's booming voice shook the room. I hated it when he did that. Will not be going in your stead, ungrateful wolf. Go see to her injuries.
You heard the king.
Alex crossed his arms.
See to her injuries, Florence Nightingale.
I'm a wolf, not a bird. I snapped my teeth together. Alex grinned wide.
Both are pets.
I moved to slam him against the wall, but Cassius blocked me with one of his wings. The blue feathers stood out like spikes, ready to impale me if I moved to attack. Fine, I jerked back. I'll check on our prisoner. She's a guest, Ethan said as if I needed reminding. I stomped down the hall and called over my shoulder. We find all our guests in the street bloody and beaten now? Nobody said anything. They didn't need to. Their answers, their worry hung heavy in the air. I could taste it. Something had happened the minute I'd touched her, the minute I'd licked her wounds. And I would take it to my grave, because it was an impossibility. She was vampire. I was wolf. The two did not mate. Could never mate. Besides, it had been my imagination. I knew, once I set my eyes on her again, the weird longing would flee. Anyway, I still felt the cold blood of my wife on my hands. Could still feel the way she'd tugged my fur. Men rarely got second chances. Why the hell would a wolf be given one?
Chapter 2 Serenity. It was too bright. Always too bright. I'd been in that glaring room for 2 days, and each day a different immortal being too beautiful for words had waited on me hand and foot. The angel, Cassius, had a body of stone and feathers that felt like velvet when touched. I imagined it wasn't exactly normal to randomly touch an angel's feathers, but they'd whispered when they'd seen me, as if they held secrets, as if that was their purpose. And I could have sworn the minute my fingers came into contact with them, they sighed with pleasure, shuddering beneath my touch. Then again, I'd been attacked by a rabid wolf, so it could have been blood loss. Blood. I shivered as my body convulsed again in bed. Blood. It consumed my thoughts, made my body burn. And then, the man with the deep brown eyes and shaggy brown hair had licked me. I'd reached for his head to push him away, but had only seemed to encourage him more as I dug my fingers against his scalp, and felt an energy so electric between us, I wondered if I would be able to pull my hand away without dying. He'd never visited my room alone, the man with the haunting brown eyes. The vampire had come after the angel. He'd looked like he couldn't quite figure me out. Get in line, buddy. The siren always stayed as far away as possible. I didn't blame him. I'd seen the aloe vera's reaction near my bedpost. The poor plant had nearly crashed to the ground in effort to lean toward the siren's smile. I really didn't blame the plant. He was pretty, in an inexplicable way. If you looked at each individual attribute, he was almost too pretty. But put them together, and suddenly you wondered if it was possible to keep yourself from blinking, because those seconds were seconds you had to take your eyes off perfection, and it seemed unfair, so ridiculously unfair. The sound of heavy footsteps filled the room. I moved into a sitting position, fully expecting the angel to come crashing in. The doorknob twisted, and my breath hitched as the shaggy, brown-haired man took one booted step into the guest room. Completely shirtless, in low-slung jeans with more holes than fabric, and flip-flops that had seen better days. His wild brown hair fell just past his chin, pieces of dark brown and orange intertwined around larger pieces of chocolate brown. He looked like a fall drink at Starbucks. Hot, comforting, yet dangerous if spilled or sipped too soon. He was a tall, dark order of pumpkin spice. I licked my lips and forced my eyes away from his face as he slowly made his way toward the bed. My heart picked up speed as if it were trying to warn me we were in danger. But the only danger I saw was embarrassment. I'd been badly attacked. I had bruises all over my body. And even though the bleeding had stopped a day ago, I had bites that would scar. And I had absolutely no recollection of why I'd been walking by myself down that abandoned road in the first place. Except that he'd been crying. Again. And I'd needed to find him. I had the same nightmare every year. And every year I searched for the source of the tears. By stupidly walking in the dark, wherever my heart led me.
Chapter 3. Mason. Bruises marred her cheekbones. Bite marks created tiny tracks all the way down her arms, scattering across her fingers like tiny little freckles. The purplish tone to them told me they were healing. At least they wouldn't scar. She was too pretty to scar. Or at least from what I could see. She needed to shower. Blood still caked part of her face, and her hair was matted behind her head into a knotted ponytail that had seen better days. Nobody had been brave enough to ask her to wash herself. The room stunk like death, and at the same time, the sweet smell of roasted vanilla was finally starting to break through, the blood making my mouth water, and my eyes rolled to the back of my head. It smelled like my dreams. It felt like a nightmare. "Bathe!" I barked in her general direction, stomping over to the adjoining bathroom and turning on the shower. I returned with a towel and chucked it on the bed, then crossed my arms. She stared at the towel, and then at me. "Will you be here the whole time?" Her knees moved beneath the covers as she tucked them under her chin and wrapped her arms around her small body, exposing more bites. Bites that made my stomach sick. What sort of vampire fed off its own kind? What sort of female vampire didn't sense danger and flee? It was a mystery, one I had no business solving. "Look, female, the sooner you bathe, the sooner you feel better and heal, the sooner you can leave." She visibly swallowed, before giving me a small nod.
"Okay."
I exhaled in relief, as my muscles tensed, and then relaxed only to repeat the process, as she slowly stood to wobbly legs, and then glared at me over her shoulder.
"And my name isn't female. It's Serenity."
"Of course it is. Female." Hurt flashed across her face before she jerked her head back toward the bathroom and slowly made her way across the floor. One foot slid, the other followed. She paused, took a breath, then winced in pain as she took another step forward and stumbled. I caught her before her face hit the ground and righted her on her feet as her arms wrapped around my neck. With a frown, I leaned forward of my own free will, ducking my nose near her neck as I inhaled my fill. She let out a small gasp, jerking me out of my sudden mating dance. The hell? I would have dropped her, But she was leaning so heavily on me, it would only injure her further. And as much as I wanted her gone, I wasn't a complete monster. Carefully, I pulled her into my arms and carried her into the bathroom. I set her on the closed toilet as I plugged the drain, changing the shower to a bath. "You will not speak." My voice sounded like nails. It was rusty, cold, angry. "You will not touch me." I filled the tub. "You will stay as still as physically possible. I will help you bathe. You will return to your bed. You will sleep."
"Please,"
she piped up. I snapped my head in her direction, tilting it left, then right, in a predatory way. "Please?"
"You forgot, please."
I did not forget. I merely decided not to use it.
"Well,"
she licked her lips.
"Now's your chance, wolf."
I smirked at that. "Well played, female. You will do all of the above. Please." She nodded. Her smile returned. I looked away. I had no room for her smiles in my life. The tub was filled. Now the difficult part. A naked vampire. I pulled on every ounce of strength I had as I very slowly peeled the shirt from her body and then tugged the soft cotton leggings from her legs. She had no other clothing. She was bare to me. And I was salivating as my fangs tried to press through my gums with such agonizing want that I had to bite down on my lip to keep from biting, to keep from sniffing. Everywhere. She covered her breasts. It made me angry. I had no idea why. I simply knew that the lust was replaced with anger at her shame, when the human body was meant to be worshipped by wolf, sniffed, licked, satisfied beyond all measure. My thoughts jerked me back to my mate. Guilt intensified, stabbing me in the heart, the muscle in my chest I rarely had use for anymore. "Get in!" It came out as a demand, a bark, as anger toward her, when it was more toward myself, my own lack of control. I gulped. "Please." Serenity stood on shaky legs, and I knew the process would repeat. She'd faceplant into the water, drown, and it would be on me. With a calm I didn't know I possessed, I plucked her off her feet and set her gently into the water, laying her on her back as I slowly dipped her head back and ran my rough hands through her matted hair. She closed her eyes. Her lips trembled as I tugged the knots loose and massaged shampoo into her scalp. I held her head with one hand and washed with the other. When I finished, I could actually see the true color of her hair, not pitch black, but an autumn brown with pieces of gold highlights that fell only near her face and at the tips. I added some conditioner Alex used for his ridiculous hair and called it good. I grabbed some soap and handed it to her. "Do you need me to wash your soiled body as well?" I asked in a gruff voice. Serenity looked away as her skin turned an attractive pink color.
"No. But I'll need your help getting out."
I nodded and stood. "I'll stand outside the door. Just let me know when you finish." The water was murky, covering her sex. I shouldn't have stared. I shouldn't have searched. I was more animal than man. I blamed my wolf side, the need to mate, to make her mine, to lick her into submission and suck her dry. It was my wolf. He was all predator, and she was prey. It was only natural. My thoughts must have betrayed my face. She blushed further and hurriedly started washing her body with the soap. I quickly turned and marched out of the room and leaned my body against the closed door, finally able to breathe without tasting her scent in the air. finally able to focus without wondering what it would be like to touch her lips, to bring her into the throes of ecstasy, to show her things only a man who contained a beast within could show her. I gave my head a shake. Ridiculous, lust-riddled thoughts driven forward by Cassia's stupid rule that each of the immortal council members had to mate for strength. Everyone but Timber, the crazed elf demon, and myself remained. It needed to stay that way. I was strong enough on my own. Women, love, they did not create strength. They took it like thieves and left you weak. And I swore I would never be weak again.
Chapter 4. Serenity. I could feel him behind the door. I measured his breathing, counted how many times he had to inhale and exhale to get his heart rate under control. It was my gift. It was a curse. Knowing how much blood pumped through his veins, knowing the exact number of times his heart slammed against his chest, crying for freedom, singing the song of his creation with each beat. Every immortal had a song, a cadence that told vampires who they were before they even opened their mouths. The wolves screamed king, and yet he was in dirty flip-flops and jeans that were falling off his muscular body. His hair had a few beads in it, dirt, and I could have sworn I saw a leaf peeking through. There was nothing about him that screamed king, but I'd never been wrong about a song. And his? His was different. His spoke of a legend of love and loss. His spoke of agony that nobody should have to see in this world. And my blood roared to life at the thought of helping heal what had been broken. It confused me. Wolves and vampires were not known to mate. They weren't even really known to be anything but partners in a lifelong war against evil. I finished washing and waited, eyeing the door to see if he would barge right back in or wait for my invitation. The hunger in his eyes was hard to miss, just like the song of his blood. And the more time I spent with him, the more the scent of his skin, the smell of earth and life, drove me insane with need. I cleared my throat and said, only loud enough for an immortal to hear, "I'm finished." The door cracked open. The wolf poked his head through and sniffed. I wondered if he realized how often he did that, sniffed the air before speaking, testing the atmosphere, analyzing. My stomach growled. His eyes darted to my chest and lowered. "You were hungry." Everything he said was like a statement, as if he'd been born centuries ago and still hadn't really understood social expectations and communication. His bark, I imagined, was just about as bad as his bite. Worse, since he was a healer. I nodded my head as he took a cautious step forward and then grabbed one of the white towels and laid it on the counter. Two more steps and his warmth was pulsing all around me as he lifted me to my feet, then very carefully wrapped a towel around my body. So tight, in fact, I wondered if he was worried about it dropping to the ground. He surveyed his work as droplets of water ran down his chest. Water that had once kissed my skin seemed to glisten off his tan muscles. He gave his head a little shake as water slid to the ground near his bare feet and flip-flops. I hid a smile by tilting my head down. I didn't want him to think I was making fun of him, but he'd just shaken his body as if he had fur, as if he was a dog in need of getting dry. It was endearing. Sexy. He cleared his throat.
"You need meat."
I almost choked. "Excuse me?"
"Meat. It has blood. If you eat it, you get blood. Do vampires know nothing?"
I stared up at him. "But I don't like meat." You'd think I just announced that I was going to gnaw on his right arm, then feed on his heart for good measure. He stumbled backward, confusion marring his face.
"But why?"
I laughed a little. "It's too grisly." His dark, almost pitch-black eyes widened.
"Then you're eating it wrong."
I wasn't sure why he was so offended. I tried a different tactic, sensing his anger from a mile away. His hair began to stand on end, his breathing erratic. "Okay," I said quickly. "You're probably right."
"Probably."
Wow. The man is impossible to get along with, isn't he? You are right. He exhaled, his body less rigid than before. I'm eating it wrong.
You are.
He apparently felt the need to comment again, and then he put his hands on his hips and let out a gruff sigh.
I'll prepare you food, and you will dress.
He stopped.
Do you need help dressing?
I'm not exactly sure. Maybe if I sit on the bed I can manage. He scooped me up without permission and stomped back into the room, then dumped me onto the mattress. I bounced a bit, then cringed as my bruised body screamed in protest.
Shit.
It was the first time I'd heard him swear.
I'm sorry. I wasn't exactly thinking.
Did he ever think beyond his wolf manners? It's fine, I said through pain-clenched teeth. I'll be okay.
No.
He scratched behind his head and swore again.
I'll just...
He hovered over me and then got up on the bed. He straddled my body with his. I tried not to cower in fear, but he was massive, dangerous, lethal. He lowered his head to my neck and began to lick. And I forgot all of the reasons I was pushing him away instead of pulling him close. I ran my hands down his bulky shoulders as the flick of his tongue moved between the bruises on my sternum. With each swipe, it felt easier and easier to breathe again. And then his tongue swirled my belly button and my hips jerked in surprise. He gripped them with both hands, his palms cradling them softly before digging his fingers into my thighs and moving his head between my legs. This was not normal. I wasn't injured in those places. I hadn't been raped. I was ready to fight him, ready to bite him if necessary and run away screaming, when his soft licks centered around each inside part of my thigh where I'd been cut years ago, where scars had marred my legs like tangled spiderwebs. He licked harder. And then he lifted his head just enough to look at my eyes.
Do you want the scars gone?
What an odd question. I frowned and then very slowly nodded my head.
Do not bite me.
I wasn't going to bite you, I whispered.
You were,
he snapped, and then his lips twitched into what I could only assume was his version of a smile.
It's best not to poke the bear, or in this case, bite the wolf.
I already told you I don't like meat.
I'm only halfway offended by that statement,
he grumbled, before dropping his head once again and pressing his tongue against my core. I gripped the sheets with my hands. What the hell are you doing?
Healing,
he spoke between licks.
Your.
Another swipe of his tongue.
Scars.
One last lick had me seeing an explosion of stars before he moved his head down my left leg, as if he hadn't just basically given me an orgasm with his tongue. Healing my scars, my ass. He was taking advantage of me, using me, using the fact that I was weak and injured to get off with his own sick wolf.
Your anger doesn't help the healing,
he whispered once he finished with the last wound on my leg. His eyes had changed from a deep dark black to a crystal blue. I sucked in a breath. Your eyes. He shrugged.
What about them?
I leaned up on my elbows, the healing all but forgotten. They're like ice. He jerked away so fast that I almost fell off the bed. The door slammed behind him, leaving me confused, angry, and feeling used. That was until I looked down and noticed the scars hadn't just faded. They were completely gone.
Chapter 5 Mason. I slammed my hands against the railing to the stairway. It splintered in two, then fell crumpled to the ground in a heap of dust. A slurping noise sounded behind me. With a growl, I turned. Alex sipped on his hot drink, shirtless, black leather pants tied low on his hips, barefoot, and his crazy yellow-orange hair fell past his shoulders in a heap of sunlight. What? I said it slowly, purposefully showing my fangs. He slurped more of whatever the hell was in the purple I Heart Unicorn's mug and shrugged.
Just watching.
Don't you have a woman to please? He laughed at that.
Don't want to kill her with all the pleasure, Wolf. She's sleeping.
Then go be anywhere else.
Ethan's gonna be pissed about his stairway. All that wood.
He licked his lips.
Wood, wood, wood.
If he won't leave, I will. I turned on my heel and stomped through the dust all the way down the stairs and into the kitchen. Damn it. I'd promised I'd make her something to eat. My eyes darted to the freezer as indecision washed over me. My mouth pooled with saliva. All that meat. All that blood. I shook my head. Just cook the meat, Mason. Don't eat it raw. That's not normal. None of that is normal for a wolf. The kitchen was blessedly silent, except for the sound of pots and pans hitting the stove as I rummaged through trying to find a cast-iron skillet that would sear the filet mignon I'd spied earlier when I was playing mind games with myself and chomping down on the dry pine cone I still tasted on my tongue. I jerked open the fridge, grabbed a bowl of berries, and started popping them in my mouth. Their sweet juices exploded over my tongue, coating it with sweet intensity that reminded me of tasting her. Serenity. Hell, just my luck. She tasted like my favorite fruit. I rolled my eyes and dropped some oil in the stove, then grabbed the fillet and slammed the door to the freezer, only to see Cassius looming at me with a dark expression. At least his wings were tucked back. His arms, however, were crossed like he was pissed. "Can I help you?" I busied myself with the steak while he paced in front of the granite breakfast bar and then pressed his hands onto the solid black rock. "What the ever-loving hell were you thinking?" I shrugged and flipped another berry in my mouth. Raspberries. They tasted more like her than blueberries did. I made a note, then burned it up in my head and ignored the pang in my chest. It matched the pain in my gut that told me I needed to eat something other than a freaking berry. I have no idea what you're talking about. The human's hungry. I'm making her meat. Steak. Cassius sighed and then groaned. It's a steak. You're cooking her a steak, not making her meat. I shrugged. You cooked for Genesis too, Cassius said, the air crackling with tension. It's typical to cook for one's mate. I grabbed a spatula and dusted some cracked pepper onto the steak. Genesis was a starved human who was getting fed from a psychotic vampire with a man bun. At least I know what you really think of me. The smell of honey and vanilla filled the room briefly, as Ethan swept past Cassius and stood next to me with his arms crossed as well. You do that to the stairway? I ignored him.
The fact remains. Cassius' voice deepened. You are making her a meal. After.
He cleared his throat. After? Ethan perked up. What after? What happened up there?
He started the mating process.
Alex chimed in. I dropped the spatula and sighed. Does no one believe in privacy?
Course not. Ethan shrugged. Just like apparently no one believes in t-shirts around here.
Cassius looked down.
I'm fully clothed.
Except him. Ethan sighed. And myself. It's like we're the only ones who understand that clothing is necessary to fit in. I fit in just fine, I pointed out. Ethan's green eyes raked over me from my worn flip-flops all the way up to my naked chest.
Sure, whatever you say, Mason. Hey, going shopping for pine cones later?
Bite me, I snapped.
You taste foul, he countered. Not at all like Genesis' sweet blood with...
Stop.
Alex held up his hand.
Some of us want to sleep without nightmares.
I am the nightmare, Ethan joked. Alex gave him a slow clap, while Cassius rolled his eyes. I returned my focus to the sizzle of the meat on the stove. If I focused on solitary things, then I didn't think about Serenity. The way she tasted. The way her body had responded to mine so perfectly. So effortlessly. Damn it. I was such a fool. I'd loved once. I'd mated once. And now I was alone. I scratched the back of my head and turned off the stove, not realizing that the room had fallen silent behind me. I quickly turned. All three men were staring at me, as if I'd just announced I was going to sprout wings. What? Alex's eyes went black, as he stood near Ethan, as if he was protecting him, which was insane. Ethan could hold his own against any of us. Cassius' wings sprouted from his back, the tiny feathers completely erect, ready to shoot like arrows into my naked chest. His eyes were white, his skin marble. Guys, I sensed no danger, but I did sense fear from everyone but Cassius. His head tilted, and he sniffed the air, his eyes rolling to the back of his head before his eyes returned normal. The air froze as Stephanie, Cassius' mate, and the last remaining Dark One, made her way into the kitchen. She arched her brows and whistled.
Freaky, Mason. Seriously freaky.
Alex gave his head a shake, then slowly returned to normal, while Ethan's eyes searched mine. Would someone please tell me what's going on?
Lie to me, and I impale you,
Cassius said in a threatening voice. Good to know I was still on his good side.
How many years?
How many years? I repeated dumbly.
How many years? He approached slowly. Have you craved the blood?
I sucked in a breath, as shame washed over me. Shame that I had hidden it from the only family I had ever known. Shame that it was a secret I'd kept my entire existence. Since my first hunt, I admitted, in a grief-filled voice, before I slapped the steak onto a plate, grabbed utensils, and fled the room.
Chapter 6. Serenity. My body was still buzzing from the contact of his mouth. My heart felt like it was cracking, and I had no idea why. What did I know? I needed some sort of blood if I was going to get my energy up. Normally, I had my small apartment stocked for emergencies. Well, this was an emergency. A bird chirped outside my window. I shuddered. Gross. The idea of killing a tiny, innocent bird made me want to puke. I was officially the worst vampire in existence. I couldn't even kill right. In fact, I'd never killed before. Most of my kind at least enjoyed the hunt, but I hated it. I hated the fear I saw in creatures' eyes. Besides, it was not like we needed to hunt. It was more of a hobby for people now that modern technology made it easy for us to take blood however we needed it. We survived off food and blood. Both helped nourish. Where food kept our bodies running, blood kept us young and viciously strong. It was like taking a drug that promised perfect vision, hearing, and all of the above. The vampires that had died out were the ones that had wanted a real life with humans. There wasn't a timetable of death for our kind. We were immortal. But the problem with introducing humans as mates? It caused vampires to want to die. Why exist outside of the family you helped create? My own parents were no longer alive, choosing to die together rather than live another 100 years. They had left me enough money to live comfortably. But part of me felt angry. And a huge part of me believed I hadn't been enough for them to stay, that my love for my parents wasn't even a flicker of the love they had held for each other. I hated the whole immortal code. The mating process meant you weren't yourself anymore, but part of something bigger. I didn't understand how people could say that mating was so great and wonderful when it made you forget about your own child. Or abandon them. It had been my job to plan their funeral. They'd made a big deal about it. Mom had gotten dressed up, Dad had worn a tux, and I'd had to sit there and watch them wither away. I had even offered my veins, but they'd politely declined. And then they were gone. Dust. I swallowed past the lump in my throat as a vision of them holding hands fell to the forefront of my mind. The smile on their lips. The way they'd died together looking at one another. Rather than at me. Their only daughter. I shivered and shoved open the window. It wasn't good blood, but it would do. I locked eyes with the bird and beckoned it. Come. It flew to the windowsill and looked up at me. It was pretty, with golden-flecked eyes and tiny little feet. I choked back a sob. What if it has a family? What if I am taking it away from its parents? What kind of monster am I? Be free, little bird. I shoved it away. See? Worst vampire ever created.
You let it go,
a gruff voice said behind me. Clearly I lacked blood if a wolf could sneak up on me. I was in a pitiful state. Maybe I should die too. Like my parents. What else did I have to live for? Nothing. I was all alone in the world, in a job I hated, and apparently a target for no reason other than I was probably going crazy. Stupid dreams. I shrugged. I wasn't hungry. His look said he didn't believe me, and when my gaze fell to the steak, I almost jerked the plate out of his hands and bit into it without using the fork.
I told you.
He smirked knowingly.
Sit down, and I'll cut it up.
He was true to his word. The big, bad, scary wolf literally cut up the steak into tiny, bite-sized pieces, as if I didn't have a mouthful of fangs ready to punish the meat into submission. He finished, then stabbed the fork into the meat and held it out to me.
Small bites. Don't rush it. I don't want you getting sick.
So now he cared? With a shaky hand, I took the fork and then shoved the meat into my mouth. I groaned and closed my eyes. When I opened them, he was watching me with such intensity I felt embarrassed. Sorry, it's been a while.
Since you've eaten?
Since I've had good meat, I admitted. Nobody knows how to cook it right. I went vegan years ago.
A shame.
He licked his lips as his body seemed to grow before my eyes. Maybe it was because he was sitting so close to me, but something about him looked different, altered, and very otherworldly. I hadn't met many werewolves. All the races typically kept to themselves. The Immortal Council made sure that fights were at a minimum. And since I was literally in their main house under their protection, I could only assume that this wolf was the wolf, the one who kept the packs in line. Demons, wolves, vampires, angels. It was a gas, our fun little immortal world. Word on the street had been that the demons were somehow finding their souls, that there was an elf goddess who'd set them free. It seemed like a bunch of crap until I'd seen a blue-eyed demon at a bar last week who'd actually waved at me and then kissed a human right on the mouth without killing her. I was so lost in my thoughts that I didn't realize I'd finished the entire steak. I patted my stomach. Thank you. I was starving.
Your stomach was loud. Believe me, the entire house was aware of your pathetic state. Vampires need food just as much as they need blood. Meat helps repair red blood cells and keeps your body running at its best. Pair that with your daily doses of blood, and you should be good to leave by the end of the week.
I gulped. I want to leave, right? Why did the idea of going away make my chest ache? He took the plate from my hands and stood.
I'll be back to check on you. Go sleep.
And that was it. The door clicked shut behind me. The bird returned to my window, and I was left wondering if I would always be in this state. Alone. Wishing for more than I had, and cursing myself for wondering if it would have been an awful thing had they just left me to die.
Chapter 7 Mason. I cleaned the dish, wiping it with the rag at least a dozen times, before placing it back in the cupboard. I wasn't sure how many minutes I'd stared out into the empty space of the kitchen, until a ripple of awareness ran from my hands all the way down to my bare feet. The spells always happened this way, as if I was possessed by some sort of monster inside that needed to be fed, demanded it. "Drink," it whispered. I clenched my teeth and braced the counter with my hands as claws started sprouting from my fingers, digging into the hard granite like it was dust. Normally, I could control the urge. I always had. Not this time. This time, I felt the blood coat my tongue, the taste of ecstasy as it built in my body. "Cease!" A booming voice came like a clap. My claws retreated, and I looked up into the face of Cassius. With a sigh, he tilted his head. "You cannot fight it forever." "I can." I snapped my teeth together. "I'm just weak because of her." "Then continue the mating process. You and I both know you already started the minute you decided to heal her a second time. Every time you lick her, the link between you intensifies. This is not a fire you can control. It's a blaze that will sear you alive." "No." I ignored the need to charge up the stairs and love her, mate her. Make her understand that this predatory thing between us was more than just healing. I was lying to myself if I believed otherwise. I chose the lie. He sighed. "Stubborn wolf. You will mate with her. You will stop ignoring your destiny." "My destiny has already passed," I whispered with emotion. "It died the minute she did." "She." He leaned in until we were face to face, until I could feel the ancient secrets his wings whispered into the air. "Was not your destiny." With that, he walked off, leaving me pissed and confused and near starving. I reached for more berries and snarled in disgust, as Ethan waltzed in with a bag of blood and a cruel smile on his lips. "We're leaving for a few days." "We?" I repeated. "You and Genesis? The twins?" "We, as in the council. Each of us is going back to our respective roots, to warn the different immortals of what's to come. The war has just started. We have fallen angels all over the place trying to decide which side they want to fight for. And the most evil of all has returned to the abyss to play house. I'd say it was time to warn them. Wouldn't you?" I couldn't argue that logic. "The wolves. They will also need to know." Ethan's voice trailed off. "Let Cassius tell them." "I imagine they'd prefer you," Ethan said softly. The pity in his eyes wasn't helping, nor the hollow ache in my gut when I thought about my pack, my people, the looks on their faces when I'd walked away and sworn never to return. My shame was too great, the burden insurmountable. 3 nights. Ethan was talking again. "Think you can keep the house from burning down?" "I'll make an effort." I tried joking, but it fell flat on my own ears. I was trying too hard to pretend I wasn't aching. Always aching. "That's really all I can ask." Ethan winked, and then, just like he had appeared with Cassius, they were gone. Utterly alone. Solitude used to be my peace, my serenity. I jolted away from the counter as gasps fell from my mouth. Serenity. It was gone. My comfort in my loneliness was gone, replaced with her. Chapter 8. Mason. I paced in the living room, my bare feet creaking across the hardwood floor. Every few minutes I'd look up at the ceiling and wonder if she was sleeping, if she was suffering. One more lick. I could heal her completely. It would cost me everything to make her well. And I had never been in the business of licking a vampire,